Welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nations Comic Book Chronicles.
Boo.
I'm your host, Tim Theo Double G.
Yay. Clap.
And I'm also here with at PCN underscore dirt on Twitter.
The only other guy who would show up.
And what transformer is that behind you? Over your left shoulder?
Metroplex.
Metroplex.
Yeah.
He's here in attendance as well.
He's keeping guard.
And that's Dirt from PopCultureNetwork.com. And our other weekly host, what's he calling himself? At Agent underscore 70.
Whatever that guy's name is.
Well, you know, he's got like three names, so you got to think of which one. What does he want to be called on air? Yes, Agent 70 is running late, so he will be joining us momentarily. But you can follow him on Twitter at Agent underscore 70.
Where's your brother?
He's probably not sure if he works Thursday nights or not. Mm-hmm. He used to chime in during the show, at least like kind of late, like around 10-ish. So he hasn't really done that lately. I'll check and see what his whereabouts are. But this is the Comic Book Chronicles, and we record every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So you can go to theclicknation.com and check out previous episodes and also read my comic book reviews. And you can follow on Twitter at TheClickNation. And make sure to like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheClickNation. Circle us on Google Plus, search for TheClickNation. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheClickNation. You can see the nice trailer for the Comic Book Chronicles that Dirt put together, i.e. copied and pasted audio from Variant-Dash on Twitter, who did the new intro music, so I want to thank him for that.
Which, by the way, aren't you supposed to like play that at the beginning of the show?
I don't know how to do that
for the show.
That's a good point. Let's see. Hold on. We're gonna do some experiment on the show here. I'm gonna open the YouTube app. I don't know if it'll play for people on. I don't know if people watching will be able to see it though.
Yeah, we had that problem last time. Well.
Add videos to playlist.
Yeah, I don't know if the people at home can watch it or not.
I'm going to assume they can't. Comic trailer. Okay, so I'm going to add the trailer. And the video ended, and people were probably wondering, how come there was silence for the last 28 seconds? If you're watching live, aka William Bruce West, let us know if you actually could hear that. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a no. But, so yes, subscribe on YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheClickNation. If you have any email you want to send to have read on a future show, send that to theclicknation@gmail.com and subscribe to the Click Nation on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Boom. So last week was kind of a slow week for comic books news and for comic book releases since it was the new year. But this week we've got a big long list from Marvel and DC and other companies. And I actually got through a decent number this week. Be proud if you check our spreadsheet. Did you update your spreadsheet?
I did. I listed books. Yeah.
Let me scroll down. Oh yes, you did.
And in fact, I added a story right underneath.
One of mine.
One of yours. About Amazing Spider-Man. Anyway.
Post the same thing. You post the same thing I posted.
No, actually, it's different.
Oh, it's different. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yours is a question. Mine is an answer.
Ah. Oh, you added a couple of new stories. Or maybe Roddy Cat added these. We shall see. Okay, so, yes, first bit of news. So, after we recorded last Thursday night, on that next following day on Friday, the Star Wars license was announced to be moving from Dark Horse to Marvel in 2015. So,
yep.
The day that most people saw coming.
Dark Horse basically sent out a statement. There were like two dueling press releases, one from Marvel saying, "Yay, we're so great to have Star Wars back," and one from Dark Horse that was basically like, "Yeah, this sucks."
They said it sucked, but they were kind of positive about it.
Well, you know, they said they've been cultivating it for years. They took it seriously like no one else had done before, which is kind of like knocking the original Marvel comics that had been done about it, which, you know, is fair. And what they basically said was they're going to finish the Lucas draft. They're going to finish all the, you know, miniseries that they have. They're going to do, I guess they're ongoing, will wrap up, you know, at some point this year. And basically, you know, they have some other stuff, some other licensed properties that they want to get to that they're going to give the same amount of dedication and attention to. So they're hoping that people who are Star Wars fans will stick around for whatever these other properties are, which I'm having a hard time figuring out what other properties are out there.
Someone had suggested it, Lord of the Rings.
Maybe, I guess, but I don't know that's necessarily going to have the same draw.
If my first thought was Lord of the Rings is played out by now, but then I forgot that the Hobbit stuff is coming out now, so just...
Yeah, there are a lot of people still interested in it.
Yeah. I guess there's that. There's a Game of Thrones comic already out I saw.
Yeah, that's from Dynamite.
It's in like the teens already, so...
Yeah, 18, I think, just came out this week.
Yeah. And I read an article about it. They take the actual dialogue from the book and add it to the comic.
Yeah, the comic is based off the books, whereas the TV show is, you know, adapting the books for television. The comics are, I guess, more true to the actual novels.
Yep. So I know there's a whole ton of, like, novels and stuff that, as far as Star Wars novels that Dark Horse was putting out.
Well,
the only thing I read was the ongoing Star Wars from Brian Wood.
So did you add the other story about Lucasfilm streamlining the Star Wars canon, or was that added by somebody else?
Someone else must have added that.
Okay. I don't know if you read that story or not, but Lucasfilm has basically, I don't know if it's just something that's been tweeted out by some of their employees or if this is... how exactly this was stated that it came out, but basically Lucasfilm, what it used to be was you could do whatever you want in a novel, you could do whatever you want in a comic, but when the new movie comes out, the movie could overwrite any of that. And whatever happens in the movie is considered, you know, like the true story.
So is this related to Marvel?
Well, this is relating to Lucasfilm as far as like cartoons, or something written in a toy or written in the comics or in a novel or a TV special or whatever. When a new movie comes out, the movie can overwrite any of that stuff. So, like, for instance, Boba Fett, you know, he supposedly dies in Return of the Jedi, and then he comes back in the comics. If they do the next movie, the idea would be in the next movie they could say, you know, ever since Boba Fett died, blah, 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 and then it would be set in stone that Boba Fett was dead, even though all these comics have come out since then with him coming back to life or climbing out of the pit, you know, whatever. Well, now what Lucasfilm has said is that they are no longer going to chart their own course, so to speak, in the movies. They are going to reach out to some of that other material from the TV shows, from the comics, from the novels, and weave it into the Star Wars universe and actually say that, okay, this counts. Like in the video game, you know, whatever game that came out, then that storyline counts, you know, and they're going to start picking some of that stuff and putting it together. And going forward, they're going to try to do what Star Trek is doing now, where as the new movies come out and as the new stuff develops, they are going to try to tie it all together. So now if you go out and pick up like the Star Wars or the Star Trek comic book, the story in the Star Trek comic book is being overseen by the people who do the movies. So it ties together, like it counts. It's part of the story. And so Lucasfilm is basically trying to do that now with Star Wars, where they're going to kind of rein in part of it, but also kind of give direction for some of the stuff with the comics and the novels and whatever on where they need to go so that it will all count and make sense and flesh out the same universe going forward. So that's part of the reason why they were so adamant about getting Star Wars back into Marvel, being owned by Disney, being part of the Lucasfilm, all of that is all wrapped together under the same company, because it makes it so much easier for them to, plot that stuff out and keep it all under control, because it's all under the same corporate umbrella now.
Yeah, it makes sense to, if you're going to be putting out materials, whether it's comics, books, or movies or TV shows, it kind of makes sense to have it all kind of merged together and makes some kind of sense.
Well,
it doesn't have to be that tightly wound together, but at least loosely tied where they all relate to each other.
Well, and that's kind of what DC's been, not so much with the storyline so much, but with tying together Warner Brothers Animation and the comics and the movie division and the TV shows. Like, they have all this different stuff going on, and that's part of the reason why they're moving out to Burbank and closing the New York office, so that they'll all be closer together and they will tie in a lot closer. Because we've seen now that the animated universe is going to follow the comics. And so, TV show universe, it's its own universe. It doesn't really tie into the comics, but they're making the TV shows tie in together. So Flash and Green Arrow are now, happening in the same place, even though Smallville didn't tie into Green Arrow. Going forward, these TV shows will tie together. And now we're seeing with the movies, with the second Man of Steel movie is going to have Batman in it. So they're, they want the movies to build the same cinematic universe. So DC's kind of doing something similar, where the comics are their own thing, the TV shows are their own thing, and the movies are their own thing, but all the movies will tie together, all the TV shows will tie together, all the comics tie together.
And if that's the case, I can almost overlook Young Justice being put to rest.
Well, because you hope that there's something else being developed that will take its place,
That's not Teen Titans Go.
I like Teen Titans Go, though.
Yeah. I like that in 15 minute or what are 10 minute spurts,
but not a half hour.
Yeah. Actually, I think, was it sometime last year? It was a Saturday and I actually happened to be home and I actually watched the full episode and I was like, damn it, this isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Although I still like the original Teen Titans better. It was a little older focused. So I think it was a little easier to sit through. Whereas the new one is for younger kids, so it's a little more, I want to say it's more animated, but that's not really the right term when you're talking about cartoons. It's more zany, I guess, more like energetic.
It's more Tiny Toons.
So anyway.
And so let's see, from Twitter, William B. West said, yep, the YouTube video didn't play. Knew that. And he also says, Dark Horse is done in capital letters. Sure, they've got Hellboy and Buffy, but they're done.
They're doing a really good Terminator. You should be reading that Terminator right now. Salvation.
Terminator is one of those series I've never really gotten into. I need to watch Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Actually, I've never got into that show.
Even though it's on Netflix or Hulu Plus, one of them that I have. I have both of them now, so I actually can watch it. But.
No, Terminator's good. There was something, actually, I was thinking.
I like Dark Horse's superhero universe that they're building. I'm the superhero person on the show, of course. But I like Captain Midnight and, Brain Boy. And I got the email after work about the Skyman preview.
Yeah, I got that. Although they do the thing where they put all the pages in one column. I hate when they do that.
Because I wanted to actually post a preview, but I was like, right click save, and it's just one long image that I can't do anything with. So I'm not gonna try to break it up into different PDFs because I don't have any software for that.
I was gonna say, I was just reading something from Dark Horse the other day, and now I can't, for the life of me, I can't remember what it was.
They've got the fifth Beatle.
Uh-huh.
Which
I'm
won
sure,
a whole
I'm
bunch
sure
of,
they do.
Which won a whole bunch of awards.
Look, man, if it was the Fifth Monkey, I'd be all over reading that. But
actually,
I mean,
I would
Beatles,
too.
So. I love the Monkeys.
Yeah, me too. Hey,
all right.
The Monkeys.
Yeah. Fist pump. Okay, so. And what was I reading from Dark Horse? I'm trying to go through.
Was it an email? Was it an email or a book?
No, I'm a book. Like I read a Dark Horse comic in the last 2 weeks.
Ghost. I can't think of their lineup. Why you think of that?
Of course, now I feel bad.
Well, we've given them a nice shout out on the show. We have one skeptic watching and us. Let's see. Next, I guess you want to, since we're talking about independence and emails, you have a whole bunch of emails from Image Expo.
I do. Let me see here. Flip to the other program. Bloop. Okay. Yeah, I've got over a dozen emails that they've sent me today from their Image Expo. So I guess we'll run through some of these kind of quickly, see if anything strikes you as we go through. James Robinson and Greg Hinkle jump into the world of comics literally with the forthcoming Airboy. It's a new series based on the original Airboy comic series of the 1940s. It's a humorous blend of fiction and reality. Comic book creators are determined to breathe new life into a series that was once wildly successful and had fallen into obscurity. So basically, the comic is about two creators trying to bring back this classic comic book character. The classic comic book character is Airboy, who is a legitimate classic comic character that they are trying to bring back in this comic.
The book is about James Robinson.
Basically.
And his adventures.
If you ever saw the TV show Bob with Bob Newhart, where he had the comic book company, I think it's, something along those lines. Let's see, next up, we have Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips sign an unprecedented deal with Image to have 5 years of free reign.
And I think in there, to summarize what they said during the conference was, Image has to put out whatever they make.
Pretty much. Right now, they're best known for doing Fatale for Image.
That's going to end with District 24.
Yep. And they're starting with The Fade Out, which is their first book there at Image, which is a similar type noir story. It shows an old 1940s typewriter and a big splatter of blood. So it looks like something, along the same lines. It's a brutal crime story set in the late 1940s Hollywood, spinning around the mysterious death of an up-and-coming starlet. For people who have been waiting for us to return to Criminal, this is exactly what they're looking for on a much more epic scale. So, basically just gives them the ability to, play around and do whatever they want, and they get to maintain creative control over all of it and, keep the rights to it. Let's see, that one's Marvel. We'll come back to that later. Okay, here's the Kelly Sue DeConnick.
I knew that's what you were when you said you took that breath. I knew it.
Kelly Sue DeConnick and Valentin DeLandro announced a new series set on an all-female penal planet. It promises to be both campy and kick-ass, and it's called Bitch Planet.
Bitch, please.
Yeah, and the promotional artwork is a handcuffed hand flicking off a planet.
The summary of the comic, actually, I mean, it sounds like a good idea.
Okay, so basically, she wanted to do a women in prison storyline, but still honor feminism. That's the point of this book. So,
yeah, the name is just. I'm available online whenever it finally comes out. hey, I'm gonna bring William Bruce Weston. He has words for Image Expo. But you can keep going. I just want to fill you in.
Okay. Let's see here. That one's DC. COWL, C-O-W-L, features the first superhero labor union. So Kyle Higgins, who's worked on Batman and Nightwing, Alex Siegel, who worked on Captain America and Avengers, and Rod Reiss, who worked on Justice League, take readers back to the 1960s Chicago, when the superhero labor union COWL struggles to maintain their public image and regain the confidence of the people. So basically, big government Chicago, corrupt underworld Chicago, big labor Chicago, putting together a thing for superheroes. So, honestly,
it sounds like his Nightwing work.
I was going to say, this sounds like a cross between Nightwing and Before Watchmen. Some of the stuff they did with Minutemen and all of that and Before Watchmen. It's like they're kind of mixing those styles together. But Chicago Organized Workers League, COWL. Is there?
I might check out the first issue for that and see how I like it.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things where I'll flip through it when it comes out, but I won't really make a determination until then.
Yeah.
Let's see. You want me to keep going?
Will, you there? I see he's online.
I see a picture of two people dressed up like they're at a wedding.
Yep, him and the wifey.
But, of course, nobody at home can see that, so it doesn't matter.
Actually, I think they can. Can they see that? I think they can.
Oh, can they?
Well, I know when the video's up on YouTube and whatnot.
Oh, well, all right,
he's
then.
Popping up asking if he's in the call. Yes, you show up. You hear us.
Okay, well, Rick Remender, who's working on Black Science, has done a bunch of stuff for Marvel. He's got a new aquatic science fiction fantasy epic called Low. The promotional art for it actually looks kind of like Bioshock. You've got some guy in a big, almost like old school scuba fantasy type suit.
Which Low book is this?
Low. It's set in the distant future after humanity has relocated to radiation-shielded cities below the sea and the surface of the planet has become scorched and uninhabitable. A probe has returned with information on a possible alternative planet for humans, but it has landed on the Earth's surface, and so someone has to go out and get it. So basically, World War III ruins the Earth. Everybody's living in cities under the water, and this probe returns and it lands on the continent somewhere, and so somebody's got to go on this expedition to find this probe to see if there is another planet that's hospitable that they could try to go to. And actually, it looks fairly interesting as far as the storyline goes. I'm kind of looking at the storyline for Low, and to me it plays out like an old Arthur C. Clarke kind of science fiction novel. So I'm actually looking forward to that one quite a bit.
We've got Agent 70.
Yay, I made it.
Our sound effects are here.
Yep. Let me make sure that they are on and working. There we go.
Feels like a real show now.
Did we do a video open today? I missed it.
Well,
we watched it, but no one at home could, apparently.
Oh. Yeah. Wait, where's the sound effect? There we go.
So you haven't missed much. We just talked about Star Wars moving to Marvel, and now we're just going over to Image Expo news. Dirt's reading his press emails from it.
Well, let's see. Okay. We got Brandon Graham's Eight House science fiction miniseries, a new series of standalone tales. And this is Brandon Graham, who worked on Prophet and Elephant Men. He's teaming up with four different creators to bring this miniseries. It's Eight House. It's the number eight house. The first is Keem, K-I-E-M. And it follows a soldier who must project her mind into the body of her dead twin in order to fight monsters on a distant comet. You have Eight House Arclight, the chilling story of a high-ranking lady of one of the houses who has her mind trapped in a monster's body. Eight House Mirror, examine what it means to be human and promises to take readers on an ironic space opera battle between self-absorbed humans intent on their own survival and noble monsters striving to save their worlds. And it said there's four, but it only lists three of them here. So I guess the last one is either still in the works or it may be something that ties the stories together, so they haven't announced it yet. I'm not sure. But so four books coming, three of them announced, and that's something to look forward to run throughout the year. Grant Morrison and Chris Burnham, who worked on Batman Incorporated. Batman Incorporated. They have a new series called Nameless, and all they showed for this is a picture. Actually, let me screen share this image real quick. There we go. Can you see that image?
Yes.
This is from Grant Morrison and Chris Burnham's Nameless. And basically all you see are these what appear to be astronauts covered in glowing runes of some kind. So we don't get anything else other than that. Just the fact that they are working on it, and that's what it is. So
it's a cool image.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Next up we have Joshua Williamson, who's worked on Ghosts, Masks and Mobsters, and Captain Midnight. Working on a forthcoming thriller series. Looks like it's called Nailbiter. A town that breeds serial killers.
It's like, if I remember correctly, it's like a town that, like the eight largest serial killers are from that town or live there.
There's 16.
16, okay.
Since 1969, Buckaroo, Oregon has been the birthplace for 16 serial killers. And so a FBI criminal profiler is going there to uncover the truth and find out why. Actually, that one looks pretty interesting. I'll probably be checking that one out. Let's see. We've got all new urban fantasy adventure called Shudder. Move aside, Indiana Jones. Kate Christopher is here. Let's see. Kate Christopher, the once most famous explorer on Earth, an Earth that's far more fantastical than the one we know, filled with demons, gorgons, phantom ninjas, and various other monsters of lore, is forced to return to the adventurous life she left behind when a family secret threatens to destroy everything she spent her life protecting. So she is basically a contemporary Indiana Jones. She basically travels the world, finds incredible things, takes photographs of them, you know, brings them back to the regular world. And apparently there are these crazy monsters and whatever. Somehow her family gets threatened and she's got to come out and try to save them. So it's turning her from being like a witness and a reporter to being the hero and getting actively involved.
What's that one called again?
Shudder.
Shudder.
Like photo Shudder.
Okay. I read the CBR article on that. That actually kind of sounds interesting.
We've got one here that appears to tie in with Invincible. Tech Jacket, a 3-issue miniseries, written by Joe Keating and drawn by Harry Randolph. Tech Jacket, let's see,
Three-issue digital series.
Yeah, the return of Tech Jacket picks up later than the original run. The original Tech Jacket was largely about Zack having his role as our planet's galactic guardian thrust upon him, fumbling with his new title. Here, he's firmly in position. He's getting a little too comfortable in it, and he's finding out that being Earth's defender is more dangerous than he could ever imagine. He's been ravaged by the Invincible War that's been happening in the Invincible comics. He needs some time away from being Earth's galactic guardian, but his vacation doesn't go as planned, and he must return to face a new threat. Issues 1-3 will be available exclusively for 1 week on imagecomics.com before going live across digital platforms. So basically, Image has their own comic book store where you can buy CBRs of their comics directly from them, or PDFs. I think you can get them as PDFs or CBRs. You can, order them directly from Image. But then, of course, they also do Comixology. They also do Comics Plus. They also do the Kindle store. They do the Apple iTunes store, where they sell them, you know, individual issues directly also through all of those. But this is a way to try to push people to go to imagecomics.com and buy them directly from them. So they are 1 week exclusive at imagecomics.com before they go everywhere else, which means they will probably be 1 week exclusively pirated all across BitTorrent before you will find them at your favorite local digital outlet. Anyway. Let's see. We have a new one called The Wicked and the Divine, basically where gods are reincarnated. Every 90 years, gods are reincarnated. They infuse new life into old mythological characters in The Wicked and the Divine ongoing series, feature guest creators and surprise arcs with alternate endings that will bring the gods of mythology to life.
And that's from the Young Avengers creative team, right?
Right. Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey, I guess is how you pronounce those. So basically, superhero-like gods who are immortal don't live forever. They can still die and then be reincarnated. So that adds something, I guess, to that. We've got witches with a Y. W-Y-T-C-H-E-S, a blood-curdling spin on the mythology of witches. And this is from Scott Snyder and the artist Jock. It's a new ongoing. It's not a limited series. Everything you knew about witches is wrong. They're much darker and they're much more horrifying. They're creepier. Mythology of witches is a bone-chilling place than people have dared venture before. It's much scarier, yada, yada, yada. So...
one of the other books I'm kind of interested in.
Can you guys hear me?
We can now.
Oh, awesome.
We're in Bruce West, everyone.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
Was that actually the end of the Image news?
There's two more.
Okay.
Two more. All right, first up, Nick Spencer is bringing three all-new series to Image, Paradigm, Cerulean, and Great Beyond. Paradigms will show it's a contemporary fantasy epic with a spy thriller aesthetic. Explore a world that exists beyond, where shadows of magic are real and warring clans of sorcerers battle for power that favor their gods. And then Cerulean is a sci-fi thriller of dead worlds, lost secrets, and hidden dangers, following the last survivors of the destruction of Earth as they struggle to rebuild civilization on a distant planet full of its own mysteries. That one actually sounds pretty neat. Great Beyond, in a post-life community, values the size of your bank account over morals and values, and you place your place in the hereafter is determined by it. But then polite society is rocked by the apparent suicide of one of its own. So that's the tag on that one. Not sure what I think on that one. But Cerulean actually is the one that stands out for me. I'm looking forward to there. All right, last one. Bill Willingham, Barry Kitson bring magic and mayhem back into the world with Restoration, a new ongoing series about magic and gods running rampant. Now, Bill Willingham has been doing Fables at Vertigo for a long time. And he just recently announced that he's ending Fables. And so it looks like he's ending Fables so he can start this new series at Image where he can actually own the characters and own the rights and everything. So basically, on Restoration Day, magic comes back into the world, and this is not good news. The magic and gods of legend and lore are not just history, but real, and now they're back in the forthcoming series Restoration. Basically, just 1,000 years ago, they bottled up all the magic on Earth to try to seal it away and get rid of all that stuff. And then one day it pops back open and it's all released back into the world. And so now you've got a world where basically magic suddenly exists again, and the gods and the creatures are all running rampant, and what does this happen to the rest of the world? And now the gods wish to keep their freedom, and the world is seeking to imprison them once again. So you're going to have, I don't know, I guess a mix of fables and a mix of the X-Men, where the creatures with the powers are going to be shunned and scorned by society. So,
oh, you mean the Inhumans, right?
Yeah, well, whatever the big one of Marvel is now.
Big one they own. That sounds like, and just besides the X-Men and Inhuman references, that whole premise you just described sounds like a book that's already exists. I just can't put my finger on it. Like the magic being balled up forever and now it's breaking loose and it runs rampant across the globe. That sounds like something.
There's a book, I think it's from Vertigo right now, called Hinterkind. And it's about the, whatever apocalypse happens and the survivors of humanity are living in Central Park in New York in like this little village that they've built. And when they try to venture out, they start to see ogres and trolls and evil fairies and all of this kind of stuff. So the world of magic like grows back as humanity diminishes. And so that is kind of similar, although this looks like that. It's just kind of, you know, happening everywhere on planet Earth one day. It's not, humanity doesn't die out and the magic grows back. It's just kind of like, boom, suddenly it's almost like some sort of inhuman bomb goes off that gives a bunch of people magic powers all of a sudden. It's kind of similar that way.
Okay.
All right, so that's it. That's it for the Image Expo.
But with the Image Expo, the one thing we didn't talk about was there were a lot of swipes at Marvel. Like, some are direct and some were indirect. For example, the whole deal with Brubaker and Phillips, that's a big deal because that pretty much eliminates their Marvel Icons series. They were doing Coward. Well, no, it's not Coward. What's it called?
Criminal.
Criminal, right, because Coward is like the first volume of it. They were doing Criminal over there, and then they left to do Fatale, but it seemed like they would eventually go back and do some more for that series, and now they're off the board for 5 years.
And Fraction took his Icon series back to Image.
Yeah, things don't look so good for Icons because it was Marvel's way of really sort of getting people away from Image, giving them creator-owned books, and it just doesn't seem like it worked out in their favor.
Was Icon still going on? Is that still?
Well, that's where Kick-Ass comes from.
Ah,
yeah, that's where
the Powers, right?
Millar World and Powers, yeah, they're still on Icon.
Yeah, and Mark Millar's working relationship with Marvel is really good, so I don't see that going away anytime soon. And he pushes out other books like Brilliant and what was the one with the Super Criminal?
Super Crooks?
Well, no, the one with Nemesis, yeah. So, like, he'll probably just keep – they'll probably go, hey, we're losing this other stuff. Why don't you give us 10 more titles, and he'll probably come up with more in a weekend, you know?
Well, he's supposed to be launching whatever his little superhero Marvel-style universe for Image, even though that wasn't announced at this. But that was announced, like, near the end of last year, actually.
But didn't he take Jupiter's Children to Image? Isn't that where it comes
Jupiter's
out?
Legacy.
Jupiter's Legacy.
Yeah.
Like, and that was another odd one, because that seemed like it would have come out from Icon. Hmm.
It also hasn't had a issue in, like, 3 or 4 months.
Oh, that may be because Frank Quietly is drawing it.
Yeah.
Right. And did you guys hear what Kirkman said about Marvel today?
Mm-mm.
Here's the quote. A fan asked Kirkman if he had bad blood with Marvel. He said, "I don't have bad blood with Marvel per se, aside from the fact that I think they're a poorly run company that's partially destroying the comic book industry."
When you have the number one independent comic every month, I guess you can say that, and a hit TV show.
Well, the thing is comics, even though the times have changed and, yeah, he's got a hit TV show, the comic industry is so incestual that you usually just you run into problems at Marvel, you go over to DC. You run into problems at DC, you go back to Marvel. He's really painting himself into a corner. I mean,
he's burning a bridge maybe a little too soon.
He is. I mean, like, sure, he may feel like he doesn't have to worry about it, but let's think about 25 years down the road, if there is still a comics industry and Image isn't around, he's going to need somewhere to go. Because Image's business model isn't the best. That makes me question the whole 5-year deal that Brubaker did, because you get paid on the back end there. I don't know how someone could live on a 5-year deal with Image unless they did something completely unorthodox and offered them a bunch of money up front just for them to live off of.
Maybe they did.
Probably. They would have to.
Yeah, to not go supplement your creator-owned stuff with the solid work-for-hire. That seems to be the model, you know. Work-for-hire pays the bills, and then creator, build your name up with that till people go buy your creator-owned.
Right. But very few people are really doing well enough on their creator-owned to just stick with their creator-owned.
Yeah. You want to stay on for the rest of the show?
Sure, if you'll let me.
Sure. Let me run off the rest of this news. Let's see. So, Indestructible Hulk is ending, and Hulk will be taking its place by Mark Waid and Mark Bagley at sometime in the spring. And also in the spring / summer is the next Marvel crossover event, Original Sin, by Mike Deodato and Jason Aaron, where the Watcher is murdered, and it's a murder mystery of trying to solve the murder of Uatu. Oh, and our other host, who isn't here, Roddy Cat, tweeted, "So the only book left on Icon is Powers."
Actually, they just added Painkiller Jane the last couple months.
Well, I read the first issue of whatever the most recent one came out. It was okay.
Really? Painkiller Jane came from Dynamite over to Icon?
I guess so, because whose name is still? Jim Palmiotti is still writing it.
Right.
That was a Dynamite?
Yeah, for a while.
But Original Sin, so it's White Nick Fury is going to make his reappearance in the Marvel Universe, and he's going to be sort of leading the investigation and then recruiting the normal cast of characters, Iron Man, Hulk, or Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, and then there's also going to be this ragtag team of the Punisher, Doctor Strange, Emma Frost, Black Panther, and another character I'm forgetting. And this Punisher and Doctor Strange are going to be like this buddy cop duo. So hijinks.
Why does anyone care? Like, I mean, Uatu hasn't really done anything for anyone. He stands around and watches. He kind of gives us a warning when bad things are about to happen. But, like, you're mentioning these characters, and I'm wondering, like, why would Nick Fury give a flip about the Watcher?
Well, this is the way it's being built. So, you know, he's murdered mysteriously, and whoever did it he's murdered on the moon, and the person that does it gets access to all the secrets that the Watcher knows, since he's been sitting there watching the Marvel Universe forever. He knows all the deep, dark secrets of all the characters, and the characters get scared about it.
You know, forget the NSA. This is the Watcher we're talking about. He knows all.
So they'll retcon some stuff probably and so forth. Let's see. Iron Fist's Living Weapon will be launched this spring. Just in time for the Iron Fist Netflix series. Let's see. So there's two stories. The first one I had, as Dirt pointed out, has a question mark at the end. Is Amazing Spider-Man returning? And the reason for that is was it one of those retailer magazines? Issue number 3 had a cover drawn by Humberto Ramos, and it's marketing Amazing Spider-Man number 1 by Slott and Ramos in spring 24. And he's all like, it's the old Spider-Man costume, and he's got his mask off and Peter Parker smiling on it. So obviously you think Peter Parker will be back. The regular Peter Parker will be back.
Crossing my fingers.
But Dirt also found this other article by Bleeding Cool, which since he found it, I'll let him explain that.
Well, I mean, it was just basically saying that, yeah, Bleeding Cool, they were sent some sort of promo packet from Marvel of upcoming promotional artwork and covers. And sure enough, in their promotional packet was Amazing Spider-Man number 1 with Peter Parker in the old suit on the cover. And they had it posted on their website, and Marvel sent them a quick email. Hey, could you please take that down? So they took down the image and just put like removed at the request of Marvel Comics. But they confirmed, yeah, sure enough, it's in there with all the upcoming comics.
And see, from what I read, it was Comic Book Movie that broke the news. Of course, they're all probably stealing from each other anyway, so that doesn't matter. Okay, so I still think that there will still be a Superior Spider-Man book also. Doc Ock as a hero is just too good. I think it's too good of a thing for them to just let it go back to the old status quo.
But in whose body?
I've been saying from the beginning, even though he appeared earlier in Superior Spider-Man stuff, but the Jackal, I always had this theory of his body, his mind being transplanted into another clone's body since the Jackal was running around.
I almost wonder if it's not Scarlet Spider, Ben Reilly clone, somebody along those lines who's coming back and they're having the memories of Peter Parker implanted in them, and now they're going to be like, it's going to be like, hey, Peter Parker's back, but it's not really Peter Parker.
He's in the clone's body this time.
Yeah, it's like one of those.
Not another clone saga. No.
Yeah, it's not going to be straightforward. There'll be some kind of a catch to it. But we have that to look forward to just in time for the Amazing Spider-Man 2 movie. What is this one? Oh, Lucasfilm's trying to streamline Star Wars canon, and the Clone Wars TV show will be finished in the comic book form. Skip that one. And I'll skip that one.
We're supposed to get some kind of news on the Ultimate Universe tomorrow, because I think like Bleeding Cool or somebody, they asked Bendis if there was going to be more than one survivor after Cataclysm, and he said, check back on Friday. So,
yeah, it's that's from Bendis's personal Tumblr account.
Okay.
Bendis has a Tumblr page where he just posts promotional artwork and whatever coming up, and someone asked him that question, and so he posted the question and then put the answer, check back on Friday. So apparently tomorrow, if you go to his Tumblr page, there'll be some sort of promotional artwork for something happening in the Ultimate Universe.
I'm wondering, do the April solicits come out tomorrow? Or is that too soon?
Well, we're about 2 weeks out from the Diamond orders for this month, so yeah, you might.
I figure he said, if it's going to come out, it's going to be broken into solicits anyway, so that's why he said the 10th. But I guess either way, Friday, we'll know something. All right, book reviewing time. Oh, got a tweet to read real quick. At St. Walker 191 says, Original Sin, aka Marvel Fresh 48. Someone finally was tired of the Watcher intergalactic snitching. Thanks for that, Saint Walker.
Snitches get stitches.
Yeah. And Agent 70 didn't update the spreadsheet with his books, I see.
Well, he didn't
read
it.
My apologies. I read. So
you're running late, so that's, you're forgiven.
Oh, I guess I need to pull up the covers, don't I?
Yeah, get those handy. guess we can start while he's doing that. We can start with Detective Comics number 27, since Will want to chime in on that one. You want to lead us off?
What did everyone else think? I felt like, well, I definitely felt ripped off at $7.99. I mean, it's what an annual used to be. That's the way I felt. It was just your standard. It was an anthology book. Yeah, it was an anthology book with a nice cover. Like, it was square bound. You could actually put it on a shelf almost like a trade paperback. But it really, to be perfectly honest, it was kind of disappointing. Everything that had been hyped was either a throwaway or it just didn't live up to the hype. Like, the first story in the book has art by Brian Hitch, but it seemed almost like Hitch was phoning it in. I mean, it wasn't the crisp stuff we're used to from, like, the Ultimates. Maybe it could be the fact that these characters weren't really based on an actor. Like, you look at the Ultimates and you can tell who was supposed to play which character, that sort of situation. And it just seemed kind of sloppy. And another thing we've been meant to look forward to was the introduction of the Black Robin, who is seen in one panel in the future in kind of like a last minute story of the book. So anybody who was looking forward to any kind of like character development or even a name was kind of disappointed from that.
On the one hand, I would agree that it did feel like the old school annuals that you used to get in the past, but you know, the old school annuals, they were like what, $2.99 in the days that you were paying 75 cents for an issue. So, I mean, for this one being the price that it was, it's not out of line considering that your base price is $2.99 or $3.99 on a lot of these books. But I love the stories. I mean, I didn't really pay attention to the news going into them of what to expect or what to look for, other than the fact that I knew Brad Meltzer was writing the story, that I knew Scott Snyder was writing the story, that the guys from who had been doing Detective for a long time were doing a story. But other than that, I didn't pay attention to any details. So I just kind of went into it fresh, and I liked all the stories. I thought the Neil Adams story, kind of going through the history of Batman, was kind of a fun story. Look back for the anniversary. I love the Gothtopia first chapter. I thought that was really good. I thought
the Gothtopia thing was kind of cool. So Gothtopia hasn't started yet?
It started in Batwing this week, actually. Batwing was the first full issue tie-in to Gothtopia. But yeah, I mean, overall, it was like an annual that you used to get, you know, back in the late 80s from DC. But at the same time, I loved reading it. Like, I got done and I was happy with what I had read.
I would agree that the stories weren't necessarily bad. There were some where I felt like they tried to be a little too meta. Like the ones where they were showing him through the ages and like, oh, his suit melted off and under his suit is a modern suit. Like, that kind of thing was kind of, I don't know.
Well, yeah, but that ended up being the dream of the guy at the convention.
Like, right.
That was supposed to be someone looking back on the history of Batman and the character of Batman. It's kind of similar to when Neil Gaiman did the Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusader storyline.
Right.
Where he kind of had everybody from all time periods of Batman coming together for the funeral, you know, and it's like it didn't exist inside any sort of real continuity or anything like that. It was the wink and the nod to the history. And that's, you know, I enjoyed that for the sake of the fact that this is the 75th anniversary.
See, I hated that what happened to the Caped Crusader for those reasons. So that's why I kind of hated that story. I did enjoy the Bruce's 75th birthday, even though the art made it look like everyone had been in the tub too long.
Who did the art on that? Was that Burnham?
I want to say it's Burnham. I don't have it handy.
Hold on,
but Burnham's very close to Quietly, and Quietly I always describe as his art looks like people were in the tub too long.
They're kind of wrinkly.
Yeah. Only, like, Burnham's, they're beefy and wrinkly.
I'm not that big of a Burnham guy.
No, that was Ian Bertram.
Oh, okay. for the birthday party. Who that is? Yeah, he definitely like he's ripping off Burnham though.
Yeah.
I basically kind of like sped read through everything. I did read the old school story, well, not old school, but the Better Days story, the with the wrinkled people. I read the Gothopia. That sounds weird to say. And I read the 27, which was the spoiler look at the at Snyder's future, where he's planting seeds for stuff you'll see in Batman Eternal and even supposedly years from now in Batman if he's still on the book. So you have things to look forward to, like spoiler.
Well, our sound guy's asleep.
You have clones and the idea that Batman is lays seeds for his Batman. It basically was like Batman Inc. in the future, except with clone. A clone every 25 years, a new 27. Batman is 27. A Batman is born, and the other one kills himself or something. Is that what happens?
Well, no. It's like every 27 years, the one Batman burns out, and another one takes his place.
Oh, it sounds like whoever the 27th one like dissolves or something, since he's a clone. And it only gets activated if there's still a need for Batman.
Anyway, I thought it was a fun story. Although I took it more of like a like an alternate history, just kind of playing with the legend and the myth of the Batman, and you know how you could still make a fresh story. You know, 200 years in the future, could you still, you know, 75 years, can you still make a fresh Batman story? Well, apparently you can. And so he's kind of saying, well, you know, 200 years in the future, could you make a fresh Batman story? Well, here's something you could do, you know. I just kind of took it as a play along those lines.
It felt very much like an Elseworlds book, seeing how they don't do Elseworlds anymore. It reminded me of Robin 3000, which right. was like a similar situation of like, oh, here's Robin in the year 3000, and there have been 18 different Bruce Waynes and things like that.
Did you read it, Agent 70?
I did, and I felt the same way Mr. West felt. It definitely felt much like an annual with lots of short stories thrown in there. You know, definitely I would have felt cheated if I'd walked away from the store with it. Let's put it that way.
See, and I had no problem with it at all. So
I actually didn't either. I mean, I took it, I guess, because I read all the interviews and stuff going into it. So at least from what I had read leaning into it, it was like, These stories aren't canon. This is just something we're doing, you know, bringing on to commemorate the whatever issue of Detective Comics. Except for this Scott Snyder story, that actually is in canon, so pay attention to that.
I have to say, I felt much better about this than I felt about Detective Comics 19, which was supposed to be the 900th issue, where it just turned out to be a block full of man-bats. Like that was for a big anniversary, you know, type story, whatever that you were supposed to care about. That seemed like absolutely nothing of value. But I enjoyed this, especially, you know, when you get a Brad Meltzer story and you get Neil Adams artwork, and you get Francesco Francavilla, you know, you get a Mike Barr story, you get Scott Snyder and Sean Murphy. I mean, it's just like all the people involved. I wasn't expecting an 80-page epic story of one, you know, start to finish. Like, I knew it was going to be broken into, you know, these different random little things. So I don't know. Maybe because my expectation was different. I don't know.
With the Francavilla story, was that supposed to be James Jr.?
That was the impression I got.
That's what I thought.
I think so, too.
I didn't know if year one is still canon with the new 52. So that's what was kind of confusing to me. Like, and I think that's a big problem I had with the book existing is the fact that there's nothing at the moment, unless I guess you count the Dark Knight, that focuses on what Batman is doing right now. Like, there's a lot of stalling going on with the Batman franchise because you've got 0 year going on in, like, the normal book, and then you've got this book that doesn't really take place in any kind of, like, time period. It's just like an anniversary book. And then you've got Eternal coming up, which I guess is the weekly book, but then that leads into the 5 year later situation, which we're just jumping around. We've already jumped 5 years in the past currently, and so we're going to be like 10 years in the future.
And then you have him the Forever Evil stuff that he's involved in.
And see, I haven't even touched that. So maybe I'm missing something. I just really want present day Batman. I'm tired of 0 year, and I don't want to see the future that's never going to happen.
Present day Batman is forever evil, I guess, if that makes sense.
And actually, to be fair, The Dark Knight for the past, I don't know, year, I guess, has actually been really good. It's been doing a lot of stuff with Clayface has been the focus for a long time. Right before that, it was Mad Hatter. Those stories have been really good. They're, you know, that's one of the things with The Dark Knight is that it's more villain-centric and villain-focused. And I've really enjoyed the stories that they've been doing there. That was a book that I didn't even pay attention to. I didn't even read the first, you know, probably 8 or 12 issues of at all. And then one day I just decided to pick one up and start reading it. I think because Ethan Van Sciver was doing the artwork. So I was like, well, I at least want to check it out. And, you know, from that point on, I was just like, I've been reading The Dark Knight and I've been enjoying it.
I'll have to check it out because I read those beginning issues where he was like chasing the white rabbit or something. And I was like, this book doesn't need to exist. Like, it just served no purpose.
Yeah, I didn't read any of those. Once that was done, then I gave it a shot.
All right.
Let's see, Agent 70, you can pick something that you read.
Do we have to stick to DC, or can I just...
No.
Okay. All right, let me take a look at what came out this week and pick something fun.
No pressure.
Oh, of course not. How about we touch on one of the number ones this week? All new X-Factor number one?
Loved it.
I liked it. It definitely moved along at a brisk pace, and it did a great job of introducing us to the new premise. And the point of view that we have is actually Gambit of all people. And I thought it was a fairly interesting lead into this new take on X-Factor. So in terms of establishing the dynamic of the series, I think it did a good job. I think it definitely piqued enough curiosity in me to pick up the second issue.
That I like that you pointed out that it had a brisk pace, because it seems like a lot of first issues don't have that. I don't know if that's a Peter David thing or not, because I haven't read much of his books.
I haven't read his stuff lately. You know, I wasn't all that interested in the incarnation of X-Factor prior to this, which is why they relaunched it. But, you know, it seemed like he was, just having fun with this particular concept.
See, I loved the one before this, so I was kind of wary about this all-new concept.
Okay.
I don't like the art. I didn't like the artist when he was on the Ultimates. It's not unfinished, but it's rough. It fits X-Factor a lot better than it fit the Ultimates, but it's going to take some getting used to. I'm also not necessarily in love with the cast either. Like, I like Gambit. I like Polaris enough. We know that there are, like, three mystery ones coming, and they're not really piquing my interest, but
right.
I trust Peter David, so I would pick this up as a trade. I don't see this as a monthly right now.
And it's funny because when I started...
I still think it's worth picking up the first and second issue just to see, and then if they do a five-issue trade, maybe, you know, waiting. So,
right.
Go ahead, Tim.
Oh, I was going to say, when I finally gave the Ultimate Universe a try again, it was when... Fialkov came and did the Ultimates, and however you say this guy's name, I'm not going to attempt to. He was the artist, and I actually like it because it's a little different. So I'm kind of glad he's getting another, like, you know, gig, another job on another book, because who knows what's going to happen with the Ultimate Universe. But yeah, I'm surprised. I actually like his art, this guy's art.
D. Giandomenico.
Him.
Come on, it's not that hard.
What's his first name?
Domenico.
No, just give me the first name.
I'm looking at it off the cover. Hold on.
Carmine. Yeah. Carmine.
He's obviously a Paisan, you know?
I'm gonna pretend like we're on a first name basis. All right, let me pick a book. I did read, of course, All New X Factor, so I like that. Let's see. The All New Marvel Now Point One was just a ensemble of different stories from some of the books launching in the All New Marvel Now. There was one story that sort of ran through the whole book, and it dealt with Loki trying to collect these five keys, I believe it was.
Right.
And I guess at least from the previews for Ms. Marvel number one, the Ms. Marvel story, the pages that were in here are actually pages from the actual Ms. Marvel book. And it actually has me interested in checking the book out now. I know Will was like, no.
Really? I thought just from this little, the bits that were in here, I did read this too. And I agree with what you said there, Tim. I thought that the Ms. Marvel parts were actually pretty well done. The art is a little touch and go for me, but I thought it was well written, and I think that will help carry the book. And the character herself seems relatively interesting to me. And you know, coming from an immigrant background, I can definitely see myself in that story. So,
Just see this article. Something tweeted: Kirkman slams Marvel at Image Expo. Says Scott Lang is in Ant-Man movie. I'll read that later. I just thought that was funny. See. I enjoyed the art on Black Widow. The story was kind of, you know, it's the whole, I have read on my ledger, I have to redeem myself for my past sins.
Mm-hmm. I can't see this as an ongoing. Like, it would probably make a decent miniseries, and I've seen people raving about it on Twitter, like, Marvel, you better not cancel this book. Like, yeah, it's beautiful to look at, yes. But I really, it doesn't grab you. It's basically like the other side of the coin of Hawkeye. It's like, she's an Avenger, she's got a shady past. This is what she does on her off time. And, right. Like, his downtime is pretty interesting. Hers isn't. Like, they really threw that twist at you.
I don't know if it's not. You know what it is? The thing is, her down... You know what
she's
it
still
is?
Working.
Right, exactly. Her downtime is still her doing semi, you know, like, things that you would find in a normal superhero book. And that's why it's not nearly as interesting as, you know, a superhero, you know, an Avenger who's a landlord. You know what I mean? Right. In Brooklyn, New York. So
because that book really shouldn't sell, but it's awesome.
Right. You know, that's the thing. It's got such a wacky premise. And, you know, like, how would you do, how could you sell, you know, how could you convince people to read a book where, you know, like, one of the premier assassins in the Marvel Universe, you know, on their days off, she knits or crochets or, like, goes to the dog park with the dog. You know?
I would actually read that. That would. I had mentioned to Tim like some months ago that with Phil Noto on the art, it looks exactly like Beautiful Killer, which was a Black Bull book back when Wizard wanted to do comics. And Phil Noto did the art there too. And his inspiration was clearly Black Widow at the time. So this just thematically feels like a sequel to that. But the like, it's gorgeous. I won't be back next month. If there's an economically priced trade, I'll check it out if people say it gets better. But yeah, it just didn't do it for me.
Okay. I will say the colors help a lot.
Yeah. The redner.
Yeah. Seriously. I only made it halfway through this. I was reading this on the way home and, you know, I got to my stop and I had to get off. But, you know, I liked it. I like the half of the book that I read, so I can't give a complete up or down vote. So I can say that I agree that the art was, you know, really nice to look at. I'll have to give this an incomplete grade this week.
Tell us about letter 44, number 3, Dirt.
Ooh, let me find the cover here. Letter 44, basically, to give a quick recap, I don't have the cover handy, so I'm going to have to pop out of this real quick. I think I have the book sitting over here somewhere, if I can find it.
You got I got a hard copy?
I got a real copy of it. Metroplex is standing on it, so I can't pull it out right now. Basically, new president came into power, and a letter was left to him by the old president that just basically said, by the way, there's this giant thing out in space hiding. We don't know what it is. We've sent up a rocket to find out what it is. That's the great secret. Don't tell anybody. See you later. And so this new guy is trying to come to terms with all of this, and he's trying to figure out, does he keep this a secret or does he share it with the American people? This latest issue is basically him kind of with that dilemma. On board the rocket, they're getting, you know, closer to it. They're finding, like, there's more random stuff out there. Before, it was just, like, this big structure that was floating in space, but now they're finding, like, little fake asteroids that this thing has sent out as probes. So they know that there's some sort of greater intelligence, you know, going on. They're trying to figure out as they get closer to it. But on Earth, it's becoming more of a kind of, like, political thriller-type thing happening on Earth. So while you have this, like, scientists and sci-fi in the spaceship, 2001 Space Odyssey type thing going on in space, on Earth, you've got this president who's trying to decide, does he share this with the American public? And they're the generals that don't want anybody to know about it, and they're getting ready to stage a coup if he's going to go public with this information. And his chief of staff ends up getting murdered because the chief of staff is trying to find out, you know, the information about everything that's going on to try to put together this plan of how the American people will react. So, you know, you've got kind of this clear and present danger thing going on Earth while 2001 Space Odyssey is happening out in space, and they're both going on simultaneously. So they're doing a lot of fun stuff with mixing together these different genres and these different storylines, and I'm just really enjoying everything that's going on in the story.
I keep saying I'm going to catch up on that series. Hopefully this weekend I'll go ahead and buy issues 1 and 2 and get into it.
I think this is 3 that just came out, or 4?
I think you have listed 3. You have 3 on the spreadsheet. Unless you
lied. This is number 3 that came out this week.
All right, this is issue 3. We can go to, issue 3.
From Charles Soule, who writes everything.
Don't know where he has the time.
Actually, I was gonna base on that, but that would lead to more discussion.
And the art is Alberto Albuquerque. So someone that you've probably never heard of before.
It's not Raphael Albuquerque?
No, it's not the guy from American Vampire.
Ah.
But it's still really good. So anyway, I enjoyed it a lot. Looking forward to more.
Okay. And you want to list 1, Agent 70?
All right, so it's my turn to nominate a book.
Yep.
Savage Wolverine number 14, a book that I know a lot of people have been kind of avoiding, but I can tell you that I tuned in because it was the finale of this storyline, and I thought
the storyline,
yeah, it's just the finale of the storyline, and I thought that there was a lot of overwrought drama in this book to begin with, and it just got really, you know, I think the portrayal of Sabretooth in this was a little bit off.
Wait a minute. You're talking Wolverine, not Savage.
Oh, Wolverine. I'm sorry. Wolverine number 13.
Oh, okay.
I missed the number. I'm I'm looking at the comic list from this week, and I just saw Wolverine. I see all the different dot nows, and that's where my eyes went on the list. And I missed Wolverine number 13. I apologize for that, viewers and listeners out there. Wolverine number 13, that's what I meant. The Cornell and Alan Davis book.
And so this is where Wolverine has lost his healing factor, yes. Right?
He's lost his healing factor in this, and the mastermind behind it all is Sabretooth. That's hard, you know. That's but already hard.
I thought Sabretooth was dead. Didn't he get beheaded?
Don't get me started.
He got beheaded by a mystical sword, right?
Right, right. I think that sword is what he's wielding on the cover right there. So I think we as a group and myself as a reader have been kind of. You know, not reading this particular arc all that closely. And I don't believe I read the issue previous to this, but, you know, I'd already figured out what the gist was. And at the end of the story, without spoiling too much, there is some resolution to whether or not he regains his healing factor. And this basically leads right into the relaunch.
So Sabretooth, I just want to – I'm having a hard time with this. He was
– I am too. That's why my review is so vague, because I read this and basically came away saying, huh?
So if you die by the sword, you live by the sword? Is that the deal with this?
I can't explain it. I can't explain it. This is definitely not all that new reader friendly. We'll put it that way. Hmm.
And is that supposed to be Sabretooth on the cover?
Yes.
Oh, I had no idea.
You couldn't tell by the sideburns?
Yeah,
that's supposed to be the clue, the sideburns that he has. Mm-hmm.
You can tell by the old school orange and brown costume he wears.
Right.
Why would he need a sword?
Right, right, right. Well, like I said, it wasn't all that much to enjoy. I tried to read it, tried to understand it. I wanted to see how the storyline resolved itself, and ultimately, I left. I'm just not enjoying the book as a whole.
Well, do you think you'll read the new Wolverine when it launches then?
No. No. So it's kind of disappointing. I'm not a big fan of where they're going with Wolverine right now.
I'm just waiting for the relaunch and some Ryan Stegman art.
Okay.
That's all I care about. Okay. Let's see. I'll pick a book. Where am I at? I'm blue.
You can pick something we probably all read.
I'm going to pick both of the Cataclysm books this week.
Yeah.
The Ultimate Comics Spider-Man number 3 and Cataclysm Ultimate's Last Stand number 3. Both of them were Spider-Man book, Spider-Man stories, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
I only read Spider-Man. I didn't read Ultimate's Last Stand.
Spider-Man dealt with him revealing his identity to his dad and some...
Which does not bode well for his father.
Well, according to a couple of the panels in there, you know, he's like, this happened because of you, and this happened because of you, and guess what, Mr. Morales, you're next.
Right.
So, but then that basically dealt with the, you know, revealing himself to his dad and then also running around saving people in New York area along with his new co-stars, the Cloak and Dagger and Bombshell. And then go ahead.
Well, it just seemed like they're shipping them out of order because there are only three issues to the Spider-Man one, and at the end of three, Captain America calls him and tells him, like, you need to come in because you're the only one who can help us. Meanwhile, that takes us back to at least, like, number two of the Ultimate's Last Stand, and then in Spider-Man they said to be continued in Cataclysm number 4, but that's not really true because it's continued in Cataclysm number 2, which shipped a month ago.
Yeah. Oh, I will. So I guess before I get to the art, so in Cataclysm Last Stand number 3, it was the Ultimate sending the ultimate version of Reed Richards and Miles Morales to the 616 universe to find some information on who this Galactus person is.
Which I actually enjoyed this story a lot more than I thought I was going to. With them running through the 616 universe, I thought there was some touching stuff with Reed Richards and seeing this alternate universe version of himself who's happily married, who has kids. He starts to realize like what a waste his life has been in the Ultimate Universe, trying to wage this war against humanity. But then there's a scene where the security robots of the Baxter Building take off after Miles Morales, and he ducks underneath the ledge of a building, and it just so happens that Superior Spider-Man is swinging by, and so suddenly the robots take after Superior, and he's like, ah, what the hell is this? Like, why are you robots attacking me for no reason? And I just started chuckling out loud. I mean, that was just one of those things that – it's one of those moments of humor that they throw in there that really doesn't accomplish anything, but it really makes the story enjoyable.
I'm surprised they didn't put Superior Spider-Man on the cover to sort of get more buys. He's in the book for only like 2 panels.
Yeah, they put the Ultimate X-Men on the cover of this book, and they're not even in the story.
Hmm. Who drew this?
Mark Bagley.
Oh, well, you know.
So, yeah, I was going to comment on the art. So for both Spider-Man and Last Stand, both David Marquez and Mark Bagley's art seemed rushed to me. They didn't seem as crisp as it usually is.
I thought Marquez's art was okay, but he definitely had a couple of double page spreads in there, if I recall correctly.
There was a lot of Marquez's seemed a little better than Bagley's.
Oh, Bagley's rushed in his normal state. You know what I mean? So his art on the regular looks rushed. So if he's rushed even a little, it probably does look very loose.
And it's crazy how Reed Richards went from this guy that tried to take over the world during Decimation, Ultimates Disassembled, and you know he's this crazy person, and now all of a sudden he's like, I want to help save the world.
Well, I think part of it was that he lost. And for him, that was like a big like character point, because when he lost the battle and he realized it was over, he kind of stood down. And I think that was the moment that he, you know, kind of took stock and had one of those, you know, pro wrestler moments where he turns from heel to face. But then I also think that when something comes to destroy the world, like he did want to control the world, like he saw a value in controlling the world, and if something is going to come and destroy it all, then he does have a chip in the game, because he did want to control everything, and how dare something else come along and try to take it from him, you know? So I think there was a little bit of both of those kind of mixed together in his motivations.
Okay. I never really bought evil Reed Richards. It felt kind of – it was one of those developments that happened when the Ultimate Universe was treading water and they just didn't know what to do with anyone. So I just never – like, I know I read and bought all the stuff, but I never bought into the idea that, oh, he's actually this evil person. It just seemed like a stupid storyline to me.
Well, and I didn't really read Ultimates before that. Like, there was nothing really in the Ultimate Universe that I paid much attention to before – that stuff kind of happened. So that's who Reed was. I never saw, you know, kind of that other version of him in the Ultimate Universe. So it's just like, oh, Ultimate Universe, Reed is evil. You know, that's just kind of how I saw the character.
It came out of nowhere because he was really kind of like a wimp. And then all of a sudden he realizes, like, he goes from wimp to Dr. Doom replacement. And it just doesn't work with his character arc, with what we've seen, at least. Maybe something happened off panel, but just from his development in Ultimate Fantastic Four, you'd never think he would be where he is now.
Okay. You can go ahead and pick a book. Dirt.
I'm going to pick one of my favorite books from this week. A book that shall not be denied by any human on earth, Prison Pit Book 5 from Fantagraphics. This is
cover.
This book.
Wow, really?
I don't know if you've ever been exposed to Prison Pit before, but Prison Pit is, it's like the ultimate underground comic you know, still being done today from Fantagraphics. Long story short, there's this this planet where the worst of the worst of society are just kind of dumped. And the people on this planet have some sort of like supernatural abilities. So they're just like in this black hole, and they just have to fight it out amongst themselves and whatever. And so this book features characters. The lead character, his name is, I'll just say F Face, is his name. Some of the enemies he's fought were undigestible scrotum and Rottweiler herpes. One of the characters in here, when he sees the battle going on, he decides to celebrate with some cat jaculate, which is a hitting a box with a device hooked up to.
Did Kelly Sue DeConnick come up with this name?
I'm sorry, what?
I said, did Kelly Sue DeConnick come up with these names?
I don't know, but it's the book. Here, actually, I'm going to turn this off for just a second so we can kind of pop here. But, I mean, there's a lot of the artwork is very – I don't even know where to start. Like, for instance, okay, guy gets his head ripped off and, like, the shadow monster comes out. And the shadow monster links up with this giant monster in the sky, and you just see it kind of blend in with all these different eyeballs. And then you've got two pages of it blending with these eyeballs, and then this cloud of eyeballs, and then the cloud kind of starts to formulate together as a face. Like, the storytelling of the book is very unusual. It's very, like, almost, if you want to say, like, art student, you know. There's something more going on. But then the eyes pull back, and you see it's our character who we've been following who's been fighting. So they use this kind of transition between these eyes to move you from one place to the other. So the storytelling is very unique in the way it moves along, what happens with the characters. There's a lot of stuff where someone will get their head ripped off and the head will grow arms and legs and start crawling around like a spider, and it's another thing that this guy has to kill. There's a device that he's looking for that's hidden in somebody, and so he punches through and grabs it from the guy's intestines and rips it out, and then he doesn't know what to do with it, so it tells him, hey, stick me in your urethra. So he does, and then this giant suit of, like, crystal armor comes out of it. It's like the most bizarre, drug-fueled, you know, LSD trip, He-Man on steroids, just everything you can imagine being wrong and objectionable, and yet so incredibly awesome at the same time.
Isn't that company known for their visual books?
Yeah, well, Fantagraphics does. They did the History of Hip Hop book that came out a month or so ago. Yeah, I mean, they're just pretty much art gallery comic book company, and so this book,
they have been for a long time.
And this book is like a graphic novel. It's 80 some pages. It was $12.99. It's a cardstock cover. It's you know, full binding, and you get. He usually does like two, maybe three of these within a year. It takes him a while, you know, to get them out. But I mean, when he does, it's just that nonstop heavy metal album being doodled on some guy's notebook turned into a sequential story. And I just love every minute of how wrong it is and how awesome it is. So Prison Pit will not be denied. There you go.
I'm sure that'll be your click of the week.
It is. It is indeed.
Except nice. We get Will in on the conversation a little bit. You just reviewed a trade.
I did? Oh, I did. Right. Yeah, no, I just read Saga Volume 1. because I had not really boarded the Saga train with everyone else. I had heard it was a good series, and I had tried and tried, but there were just way too many weird things about it. There are doggy-style robots and all kinds of weird stuff. But I finally got through the first volume, and it was really good. Like, I understand now what people were raving about. So, has anyone else read Saga?
I'm reading it currently. That's all I can really say about it. It seems fine. I'm getting the gist of it from the three or four issues I've read so far.
I was scared of it. The reason I didn't really want to get into it was that I don't trust Brian K. Vaughan. I have said this before in that he's a great idea man, but he's not a closer. When it comes to his long-form stories, Why the Last Man did not like the ending. Ex Machina did not like the ending. Runaways really didn't have an ending because they were getting a new creative team. It's when he has very short stories, like his Marvel Knights Logan, that was excellent. Pride of Baghdad, that was excellent. But when he gets too much rope to hang himself with, he does just that. So with Saga, I felt like even if it's a great premise and the best idea ever, I'm still scared I'm going to be disappointed like 10 trades from now or 6 trades from now or however long it lasts.
I'll take your word for it, because all I've read of Brian K. Vaughan so far is maybe like the first 7 issues of Runaways. Because at one point I was like, I'm going to read this series, see what all the fuss was about. And I read up to issue 7, and then I got just bombarded with other books to read, so I never went back to it.
I loved Runaways for what it was when it was out. I don't know if I would give it the time of day today, but I loved it when it first came out, and I did read I followed his entire run on it, but Marvel just doesn't really know what it wants to do with those characters these days.
Right. I caught up on Runaways, and when the creative teams changed, you know, when he left the book, you know, you could definitely see that, you know, the creators that followed, and even Marvel, as Mr. West just said, just didn't know what to do with those characters. I haven't gotten on this particular bus, the Saga bus. Are you telling me that this is still something that I should be reading?
I think so. I would say definitely give it, it's a little out there. Like, it's got some weird stuff going on, but I would say give the first trade a try. That's the best thing about Image, where like all their first trades are just $9.99 anyway. And I think it's definitely worth that, you know? So give it a try, and it might be up your alley. I definitely will be getting the next volume this weekend. Like, it makes me want to keep reading and seeing where this is going.
Got it.
Cool. Let's see. Anything else worth mentioning from this week?
Did we do Avengers World number 1?
It was fine. I liked Stefano Caselli's art was great, of course. Well, not great. I'm a fan of his, so I'm always going to enjoy his art. But it wasn't much to go with here. He still used Nick Spencer, the writer, co-writing or whatever, writing and plotting with Jonathan Hickman. He's still using AIM as his villain of choice, which he's been doing in Secret Avengers. And I'm not crazy about AIM, so I'm just like, eh. Unless the villain moves on to someone else, I won't be fully invested in Avengers World just yet. Unless he does a whole bunch of issues starring Sunspot, Cannonball, and Smasher.
Well, I think that this book is going to feature that particular trio. I think is going to be heavily featured in this book. I think we're going to see a lot more of the redone New Universe characters in this book. So I think if we want to see actual character development for those characters, you want to read this book.
What's the premise of Avengers World? Like, what does it bring to the table that the 16 other Avengers books haven't done yet?
You get to spend more time with the the members of Avengers without having to worry about this grand
a special
story.
Premise. Yeah, exactly what I was going to say.
Grand story
no,
being built.
Right. It doesn't make it. It's not a specific. It's not an Avengers branch that has a specific purpose, like Secret Avengers or Guardians of the Galaxy, sort of like the Cosmic Avengers, right? This is just another book, you know, like a companion book or a sister or brother book to the regular Avengers book.
There really is no, no...
So it's like Avengers Spotlight used to be.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's still... But the stories are still taking place...
Right. I think it's just another place.
With Avengers.
Right. It's another place for them to do crossovers. It's another place for them to kind of tell that larger Hickman style story.
You mean the mumbo jumbo?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think this one is going to be a little bit more superheroic. I think the mumbo jumbo is, I think they're trying to confine to new Avengers.
Oh, they're definitely putting in new Avengers.
Right. And I think they sprinkle some of it in regular Avengers. And I think World is Hickman and Spencer, you know, combining to tell more superhero-y type stories, but still, you know, have the same sandbox and the same characters. So that's why I'll be keeping up with Avengers World, because it's still the same team. It's not like a special branch the way Secret Avengers was. So that's why I'll be reading
it. And that's about all I've read from this week.
See if there's something else.
Nobody read Deadpool?
No, sorry.
Did you?
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Talk about it.
I like the cover.
That's a great cover.
Well, the interesting thing with Deadpool is that I don't know if you guys have been reading the Marvel Now Deadpool, but when it first started, and what issue? This is, wow, 22.
Yeah. Okay. The first couple of arcs took a long time.
Yeah, and that original story is still kind of going, where in the first arc, S.H.I.E.L.D. agent Preston gets killed, but one of the, like, S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, like,
mystics...
spoiler, right? It's okay, go ahead.
Sorry.
It's 22 issues in. Come on, don't worry about it.
One of the, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. mystics puts her consciousness in Deadpool's body, so Deadpool now has, like, both of their voices in his head. So... In that adventure, S.H.I.E.L.D. had, like, hired him to kill these, like, zombie presidents. And when it was all over, they decided not to give him his money. So now, 22 issues later, he's pissed off and he's going back to S.H.I.E.L.D. to get his money and to get her into, like, a life model decoy. But one of the interesting things is they brought in Coulson and, like...
Phil!
Yeah, you're actually starting to get to see how Coulson interacts with, like, the jumpsuited S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, because, you know, there's, like, a disparity there. And he's got, like, this issue was really good because it was, like, full-on Coulson. He was in Lola, so you get to see
no
the car.
Kidding. Okay,
yeah.
Now I want to read this. Okay.
Yeah, like, it's a really good issue. And one of the things, I don't know if you guys ever watched 30 Rock, but there's a character, Pete Hornberger. He's played by Scott Adsit. Well, and I guess he's like a friend of the writers, because in the book there's S.H.I.E.L.D. agent Scott Adsit, who looks exactly like the guy and has like the same mannerisms and everything. And like, it seems like he just got promoted into Coulson's ranks because now he gets to wear a suit instead of wearing like the S.H.I.E.L.D. uniform and everything. It's really cool if you're interested in like Coulson and agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and that kind of division. It's cool. Worth picking up for that.
Cool. Now I'm going to look at it. I'm definitely going to take a look at this book. Thanks for the recommendation.
No problem. This story arc is just two issues in, so you really don't have to have read what came before necessarily. Like, it helps, but, like, you could start at issue 21 and be just fine.
Great. How's the art?
The art's really good.
That's always my question.
It's not Paco Medina, because that's who did it originally. So, I mean, it's not that caliber, but I have no issue with the art, and I'm an art snob.
Dicklin Shelby was doing it before, wasn't he? The good, the bad, the ugly, right?
He did. They've rotated so much. He did the one when Marvel Now Deadpool started. Paco Medina was doing it that last series. The, like, okay. Pre-now.
Mike Hawthorne did that. Did this, who I actually follow on Twitter, kinda.
Okay.
I'm flipping through the pages now. Actually, it looks kind of good. I actually might try to read this then. Is this a good jumping on point for Deadpool?
I think so. You might want to go back and read that first trade if you can get it, just to kind of understand what set everything up. But you can skip a good chunk, like you can skip the teens, because that takes you in a whole different direction. He has a kid and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah. So. if we go into the Comic Book Chronicle archives, I read we were reviewing the very first couple of issues, and I definitely read into the early teens, and I definitely dropped off. I tried to read some of the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah, that's a dark one.
Yeah, and I read that and didn't follow up with the next couple of issues, and I'm glad that I guess the tone has gotten to be a little bit easier to follow. It sounds like the story's kind of picked up a little, so.
Oh, definitely, and even though that was a dark one, they realized it, so you kind of have, like, palate cleansers around it. Like, I don't know, based on when you were reading, did you read the arc where he goes against the white man? And it's
I missed that one.
It takes place in, like, 1980, and he...
That was the retro issue. It goes back in time. I did read that.
Right, where he teams up with Power Man and Iron Fist, and they're fighting the white man, because he wears all white. And then, after the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, they did another one where it was a quote-unquote lost issue, where it was done in, like, the Kirby style, and it was, like, him and Wakanda trying to get some vibranium. It's really cool how they play in the sandbox.
All right. That's cool. I might give this a second shot.
Yeah, it's really good.
That's good.
I always fall in and out of Deadpool, at least when I do give it a shot. Like, I'll read it for, like, a couple issues, and I'm just like, eh.
He never holds my attention long enough.
You have to get in at the right point, because there is, like, he brings that X-Men continuity baggage with him. Like, they're still referring to things that happened, like, 3 series ago. So that is kind of hard to keep track of, but they're not too bad with it.
Hey, Dirt, how was Suicide? What was that book called? Suicide Risk? Was that a jumping on point for that book?
No. I'm trying to see if I can find the cover real quick.
Like, I remember reading that they were coming up with, like, a new story arc was coming up soon for that.
I think the next issue is kind of like a fill-in issue. Okay, here's the weird thing with Suicide Risk, is that every so often it kind of goes backwards. Here, I'm going to turn this off since I can't find the cover handy.
Is that a Boom book or Image book?
It is from Boom.
Okay.
Basically, Suicide Risk is, you had this cop who was watching criminals on the street take this drug, and it gives him superpowers. And so he takes this drug to get superpowers to take on the criminals, and the powers he gets is apparently this power set that used to belong to another villain somehow. And you don't know if like he stole the powers from this villain and that's how he got it, or if maybe he is the villain and something like gave him amnesia and he started this new life and now he's, you know, reminded of it or whatever. But he's trying to take down the criminals, and this group of villains comes and grabs him. And they, we'll kill your family if you don't help us, yada, yada, yada. And they decide that they want their own nation in the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico. So they basically go down there. They kill everybody in the army. They hold the line. They say this land belongs to us now. And the leader goes to the United Nations to get recognized as a new nation. And basically, this guy's power set, he realizes, is much more powerful than what he thought it was, and begins to realize he can manipulate things much better. And the story, like right in the middle of all of this that's happening, it suddenly does this shift to his daughter for a whole issue. And instead of it being the story of this guy fighting these villains, suddenly it's about his daughter, and his daughter is now manifesting superpowers. But her powers are like reality warping. Like, she opens doorways to pocket dimensions and things like this, and she doesn't know how to control it. She doesn't know, you know, why it's happening all of a sudden. And then it goes back to the story of this police officer, and you don't really hear from her again. So it's like, at some point, this is going to come back, but you don't know when, and you don't exactly know how. And then it said, like, the next issue of the series, like, we went back to this police officer guy and his fight with the villains, and then it said the next issue is going to be another kind of one-off, something else in the universe is happening that will pay off at some point down the line. So it's going to be 2 months before we get back to the story of this police officer guy. And in this current issue, you know, he basically, the deal was he was going to help these villains, you know, grab this plot of land so they can start their new nation, and then he's planning on leaving. And so as soon as it's signed and as soon as the deal is sealed that they have this nation, he goes, okay, I've upheld my word. You guys have your island nation now. Now I have to not island nation, but you have your own you know, place now. Now I have to make everything right and stop you guys. And so he suddenly turns on all these villains. And because he's so powerful, he's able to start manipulating them and turning them, turning their powers against them and everything. And he starts giving them all their comeuppance. And it's building to, you know, a big battle. But right before the big battle takes place and right before you get that ultimate, you know, like what you think is going to be the big ending, the book ends. And now you know that there's going to be something else next month, and you're going to get back to it in 2 months. And so obviously what you're expecting to be the resolution isn't the resolution. Something else is happening here. So it's one of those books where everything about it so far kind of feels like you're doing this kind of, you know, good cop gone bad, falls in the bad crowd, whatever. But he's peppered it with all these little plot points along the way that are going to turn everything on its head. You know, he keeps playing with your expectations of what the story is going to do. So I think that's part of the reason why I enjoy it so much.
Okay.
Cool.
I keep seeing that book and I'm like, I'm going to try it out, but then it keeps falling through the cracks for me.
You know, and it's not a hard read. It's one of those things where if you sat down on a weekend afternoon, or if you sat down early enough in the evening, you could just sit down and go through all of them in, you know, 2 hours.
Okay.
Maybe even an hour if you're a good reader.
Gotcha. Let's see. I guess it's time for clicks of the week.
Okay. Let's see what I have on my list.
I will go with all new X Factor number one.
You know what? I think I may have to join you on that one. I think that was, of the books that I read, that's the one that stood out as an enjoyable read. And, you know, as I said before, piqued my curiosity far, you know, more than enough to pick up the second issue. So I'll go with that one for mine as well.
We know Dirt's is...
Prison Pit!
I was going to call it something else, but I'm disrespectful. And I only said because I couldn't remember the name, so I was going to call it something else that was totally off base.
Actually, if it had an offensive word in it, it probably would fit just fine.
Probably.
That happened, well, I didn't remember the words prison or pit. Prison or pit. I was going to say, for some reason, Garbage Pail Kids came to my mind. from the cover kind of reminded me of the old Garbage Pail Kid.
Oh, my goodness.
But, yeah.
That's funny.
And I'm assume Will wants to name Deadpool number 22, 23, whatever it was.
No, I think I'm going to go with Ultimate, what is it, Cataclysm Ultimate Spider-Man number 3.
Ah, that was a good one too. I did enjoy that.
Yeah, same here.
I know you're the ultimate, you and Dirt are the ultimate fans on the panel.
I love me some Ultimate.
I like Ultimate Spider-Man.
I dig the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Actually, I still enjoy the Ultimates with Yakov and Carmine.
You got to go back and read the earlier stuff. Like, try to find Ultimate Marvel Team-Up. It's all good except for Ultimate Fantastic Four. That thing was just boring as hell.
Dirk gave me a good start. I forget what book. I think I want to say I wrote it down, what book to start with. Hold on.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, I think I jotted it down. Give me 1 second. I put it in my Evernote. Because, see, I know what stuff I'm going to forget. I jot it down.
I think it was either the start of the
United We Stand.
Yeah, right after the Civil War. Like, after the war is over, you can go with the rebuilding.
Oh, right.
That's on Marvel Unlimited, I believe. Or it better be.
And I guess one thing to point out real quick is that Batwing 27 was the first Gothtopia issue. So if you read the short story in Detective 27 about how everyone's being drugged into thinking that Gotham is this beautiful, wonderful city, while all these terrible things are actually happening under their noses, Batwing is the first full tie-in for that, even though there's nothing on the cover. Like, nothing on the cover of this book says Gothtopia tie-in or anything. It's just, like, that's what it is. That's the storyline. So if you're interested in all to see what's going on in the Bat books for the next couple months, you definitely want to check that out. It was a good story. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Is this one of those where you have to buy the other books? Because I couldn't tell.
No, I don't think so. Because it's all of them kind of, I mean, so far, the way it seems with what happened in Detective 27 and what's happening in Batwing 27 is it's them figuring out what's going on. Now, whether or not in the future it has more of a direct tie over, but right now they're crossing over only in the fact that they're in the same location and what's happening is happening to everybody in the city. So, like, it looks like it's going to go into Birds of Prey just because Birds of Prey are in the same city. But it doesn't seem like they're actually crossing paths, or at least not at this point.
So the villains in the that were shown at the last page or panel on Detective Comics number 27, they're the ones behind this?
Yeah, spoiler kind of, but spoiler kind of not.
Okay, that's good enough.
Can I just point out how odd it was to see an all-white Batman in the middle of the day? Like,
yeah,
it doesn't work. It doesn't work at all because how do you strike fear? I don't know.
He's not there to strike fear because Gotham is the happiest place on Earth. There's no crime in Gotham.
Instead of the Dark Knight, right?
It's where dreams are fulfilled.
Lord have mercy.
Well, it makes you wonder why he'd choose a bat then. You know what I mean? Like, I got the color scheme in the daytime, but what are the positive aspects of the bat?
I think they make reference to the fact that he's cleaned up the city. Right. So it's like at one point the city was bad, but now he's taking care of it. There are no villains to worry about anymore because he's done such a good job.
Right. There's no more recidivism. So basically his job as Batman has evolved.
Yeah, so now he's the guy getting the key to the city, and he's at the museum opening, and he's, you know, shaking hands with the mayor and, you know, doing all these photo ops, and he's kind of become Greg Kinnear from the Mystery Men movie. There's a reference I'll throw out for nobody. Nobody will get that.
All right, so I think that'll do it for us tonight. I want to thank William Bruce West for joining us tonight. Let people know where they can find you online.
Come on, it's promo time.
What, who? Huh?
You hear me, Will?
I was saying thanks
for joining us tonight and let the listeners know where they can find you online.
Oh, I missed that because of the applause. Thanks for having me. You can find me on Twitter at William B. West, or you can find my website, williambrucewest.com. Every Friday I have the West Week Ever, so come check that out. And, yeah, that's about it.
Cool.
West Week Ever is one of the best columns out there, so.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for reading.
Yep. Find Dirt online on Twitter at PCN_Dirt and on his website, popculturenetwork.com. Agent 70 is at Agent underscore 70 on Twitter. Roddy Cat, who isn't here, but you can follow him on Twitter at Roddy Cat, and follow his news Twitter account at News Nerds Need.
Yeah!
Two plurals and a single.
That's right.
And I'm at Twitter at TimDOGD98 and at TheClickNation. And, of course, go to TheClickNation.com. And we are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we'll see you next week, Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And we are signing off.
Peace.
Good evening, Rick. Would you believe